Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. We face the issues each day. It's our prayer that you're blessed by, informed, and encouraged through the broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're facing some issues that are very, very serious on a global basis, and I pray that you'll tune in and tell others to join the broadcast today. During the course of this broadcast, you can jump in the dialogue and the discussion. All you need to do is dial 831-0917, 831-0917. The telephone number gets your call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have your input on the subject today. We're going to be talking about how should we then live? How should we then live? I'm looking at a little newsreel blurb. It says, Iran and America close to war, earthquake in Utah, swarms of locusts from Africa to the Middle East, virus spreading around the globe. Which I don't know how you could have any greater headlines than that from the standpoint of the enormity of what we see taking place on a global basis, and yes, even in America today. But before we get into the monologue, dialogue, and discussion, let me remind you that we face the issues based on the Word of God. God's Word says, as Jesus is speaking, if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. That's what Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And then further he states in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's truth that we want to talk about today. Not hysteria, not panic, not a philosophy of what others might think or say, but truth. We're going to look at the condition. We'll look at the consequences and the cause of some of them, but then we're going to look at the cure. What is the answer for what we're seeing in America today and the difficulties that we're faced with? It was George Orwell a number of years ago said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that I believe made the most dogmatic complete statement about truth that we could find, especially to the Christian. He said, faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even till death. And I believe that's the mantra that we ought to have as Christians today, even in the face of the chaos and the calamity and the panic and the hysteria that's taking place across the nation. Christians of all people, I believe we should have stability based on the fundamental foundational truth of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. There's no room in the Word of God for Christians to go around in hysteria, wringing the hands with the hair on fire, in a panic mode, wondering what in the world should we do. And that's what we see taking place in America today. Let me remind you, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full equipment line for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and all of the power equipment, ladies and gentlemen, for landscape and lawn care for the professional as well as for the homeowner. And the line of Honda generators in the preparation for the hurricane season. They have a full staff that can answer all of your questions about the power equipment that they sell, as well as the backup equipment for the hurricane preparedness season. They're located at 11295 11291. Looking at the numbers wrong. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Where is that located? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, where the gigantic flag flies, the American flag flying 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917. I believe a very powerful, a very necessary, a very informative, and very needful broadcast today, that it is my prayer that it will get you focused, especially as Christians today, as to what we ought to do. And lest I forget it, let me remind you, I'm holding in my hand the book that I had the privilege of publishing, authoring, and publishing a number of years ago, The Panorama of Prophecy. It's a 151-page book. It sells for $16.99. It is yours free. We even pay the postage for each and every one that calls in today. As you call in, leave your information and contact number and address with our call screener, and we'll be delighted to send this book to you. It's a book that ought to be in the hands of every Christian. Panorama of Prophecy goes from the rapture of the church to the return of Christ and the millennial reign and the ultimate rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will tell you in detail, ladies and gentlemen, exactly what to expect in these last days before Christ raptures the church out. It will tell you in detail, not based on philosophy, not based on ideological bent, not based on denominational dogma with rites, rituals, rules, and regulations attached thereto. But it goes back to what the scripture says. For example, I'm looking at page 88, and it says the first trumpet. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Revelation 8:7. And then we see not only the soil is scorched, but the sea is smitten. Revelation 8:8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Then in Revelation 8:9. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, I could read on and on and on. It's 151 pages. It's a book that ought to be in every Christian's hand, that you ought to understand what's going to take place, what God is doing. And let me tell you this, the reason this book is necessary, what we see taking place around the globe today is simply a precursor of what God is doing to do in this old world after the rapture of the church. If you think hurricanes are bad, if you think tornadoes are bad, if you think earthquakes are bad, if you think floods are bad, if you think hailstorms are bad, if you think somehow, some way, this coronavirus and other diseases are bad, it is simply a smattering of what God is going to do after we, the church, the bride of Christ, is raptured, suddenly see, snatched out of this old world. The Antichrist steps on the scene, and he rules this world with an iron fist under demonic powers, according to Revelation chapter 13, verses 3, 4, and 5. The Antichrist will be given the power to do what he will do, and that power is given to him by Satan himself. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We are living today, ladies and gentlemen, in a world of confusion, complexities, chaos, calamity. But yet, let me say to you, I believe that God would have every Christian under the sound of my voice and beyond. I believe that God would have us to live a life of confidence, not confidence in self, not confidence in government, but confidence in God and what God can and will do, even through these dark, devastating, hysteric, panic-stricken days that is upon us in our city, in our state, across America, and around the globe. So this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, though it will have some negative points in it, it is designed to be an encouragement to you, to let you understand what the Word of God says and how we ought to live our lives and what we ought to do. It was Francis Schaeffer, the 20th century Christian philosopher, that the events of the world, even in his day, based on what was taking place. Francis Schaeffer believed very passionately that Christianity is the truth about biblical understanding about our universe and how we should live. And Francis Schaeffer then said, indeed, God is there and he is not silent, end quote. And then further, Francis Schaeffer said, based on all that we see, and he had outlined in the arts and in the sciences and in the philosophies and the feelings and what was taking place in the world and in America and around the globe. I believe it was 1966, he produced the full-length movie, How Should We Then Live? And he outlined what Christians ought to do and how we ought to live and what we ought to believe today. And I believe the statement was based upon absolute belief that our world and the depth of sin and the evidences of lostness in the world should tell the Christian that we ought to have a different view, a different focus, a different life, a different stability than the world has. And so I'm here to challenge you today, ladies and gentlemen, that we're to live by faith and not fear, that we're to depend on God and trust God and place our faith and confidence in God. But ladies and gentlemen, to get to that point of what I want to say about what the Bible says and why you need this book, The Panorama of Prophecy, I want you to understand what is really taking place. Today we see the panic over the pandemic of the coronavirus. People are dying. Some are very ill. Others are still healthy. Our national government is still trying to get a handle on just what to do and how to do it, and they're trying to stem the spread. Now listen, I'm opposed to some of the things that the government is doing. I'm opposed to some of the strategies that they're taking. I'm opposed to some of the modality that they're using. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, I believe those that are in charge of our national government are just as panic-stricken as the majority of the people walking down the street. Therefore, they're like a blind man leading the blind man in a dark room. I believe they're trying to make a determination on what to do, and they're trying stratagem after stratagem to try to get the right handle on this before it destroys more people. We know some of these things. What we do know is this, that the coronavirus originated in China. Originated in China. Here's an article that says the coronavirus may not get you, but socialism will. It's a humongous article. I'm going to read you the heart of what the article says that I want us to understand. This article says, the enemy of reason is upon us. Fear, panic, frenzy, terror, dread, horror, hysteria, confusion, hoarding, and stress. So many Americans are running around like chickens with its heads chopped off. My mother used to say that, so apparently this writer was up in age enough to understand that. He says, no. We're not minimizing the threat and the risk of the coronavirus, but it, like Ebola, measles, flu, SARS, MRSA, viruses, and who knows what else, are alive and well on planet Earth, and they keep rising up every now and then to test our mettle. Remember the hype about measles, the measles outbreak just a year ago? There were only 971 cases, and yet we panicked over that. That too, because of the media, this writer says. Some people will get the coronavirus and don't even know they have it. Some people get sick. Some people get very sick. Some people end up in the hospital. And yes, some will even die, this article says. But people die. Listen to the statistics now that I want us to set in perspective what's happening with the coronavirus and look at it with the prism of what's around us and what's happening otherwise. This article says people die every day in traffic accidents, 3,287 average per day, or overdose of drugs, 192 per day, or shootings, 109 per day. That's according to 2017 stats, this writer is saying, or stabbings or hammer attacks, or just old age, 7,115 a day. And yet we don't panic over those deaths. We live with it because we know that we can't stop it in our society. This doesn't even include people who end up in the hospitals from diseases, broken bones, broken legs, et cetera, or even old age. It is a fact of life on the planet Earth. People get sick. People die. Panic only makes these things worse, this writer says. Then he goes further and says the CDC estimates that around 31,000 Americans have caught or will catch the flu this year. 370,000 could end up in the hospitals for treatment. At least 56,000 people could die this year by the common flu. We don't see any panic rising in the population over the flu deaths. There's no hoarding or cleaning out our store shelves over the flu deaths. There's no mass media saturation on the flu death stories. This article further states, and I'll conclude, we're panicking because we have been deluged and fed a steady diet 24/7 of the negative news stories about the coronavirus. Fear is contagious, just like a disease. Nevertheless, it is very unlikely that 31,000 Americans are going to catch the coronavirus this year because of the extraordinary steps we're taking to minimize the spread. It is equally unlikely that the death rate will exceed the 56,000 who die every year just from the flu. Yes, the economy will suffer. Some people will lose their jobs. Some businesses will go out of business, and the GDP will take a deep hit. But it's not permanent. We will bounce back, this writer says. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get some perspective with what we're seeing. Let's understand what is taking place and why the hysteria is abounding in our world today, and especially in America. That telephone number, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is 831-0917, 831-0917. We encourage your call. Like to hear from you. What are you doing in preparation of the coronavirus? Are you bunkered down? Are you hidden in the closet? Are you fearful to walk out of the street to go to the mailbox? Do you worry about tomorrow? Are you concerned about how many jobs will be lost, what lives will be lost? Or are you just simply not understanding what's happening and you're panic-stricken because of it? Have you put enough food in your house to last for the next 12 months? Some people are doing that, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about how should we then live. And I'm speaking, ladies and gentlemen, primarily to you as our listener that's a Christian. As a Christian, how should we live? We see these things taking place. We understand, and we're going to talk about it extensively in the latter portion of this broadcast. We know what the Scripture says. I hope you do. If you don't, you're going to hear some of it today. I pray that you're dependent upon God and not on government for survivability and what will take place. This broadcast is probably the most important broadcast we've done this year, and I believe it's the most poignant, pointed, personally addressed broadcast that could be, should be effective in the hearts and the lives of every Christian. Things that we do know, the coronavirus originated in China, and yet there's a whole lot of fanfare going on with China and the Chinese government trying to distance themselves from it. I won't go into great detail on that, but simply hit the high spots. Americans warn coronavirus is not the worst threat from China. China has become more aggressive in its efforts to blame the United States for the corona pandemic, which originated in the Chinese city of Wuhan. A spokesman for the Chinese Foreign Ministry charged it was extremely irresponsible for the media to say the virus originated in China, suggesting the U.S. Army brought it to Wuhan and then spread it. Then President Trump's repeated reference to the Chinese virus prompted the China's demand that the U.S. correct its mistake immediately. Now, Gordon Chang, a senior fellow at the Gatestone Institute, contends China blames America's campaign shows communism is worse than the virus. China's communism is not an enemy, not an enemy. It's the enemy, he wrote. After the coronavirus pandemic subsides, Americans should not forget Beijing maliciously campaigned against their our country. He pointed out that the regime has been trying to tar and feather President Trump's administration. That hostility has included China nationalization. Listen, it has included China's nationalization of American factories, making all the medical masks and forcing a ship carrying the mask and gloves and other protective gear to the United States to return to the shores of China. And most are not aware of that. That's the reason there's a shortage on the mask. That's the reason there's a shortage now of medical equipment and medical gear and the outfits that's needed in the hospitals and the emergency rooms, et cetera, because China is trying to, as this writer said, tar and feather President Donald J. Trump. They hate him with a venomous hatred because of his stand on protecting America and the imports and the exports that's been allowed for so many years that's destroyed the American economy for years and years and years. They're trying their dead-level best to destroy the Trump administration and his future prospects of re-election comes November the 3rd. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the things that we do know. The coronavirus originated in China. The Chinese government knew as early as October of 2019, but did not talk about it, did not say anything until December of 2019. And the only reason they did it then, ladies and gentlemen, is because the one that was the key physician that was aware of what was happening, he recognized the fast spread, he recognized the viral danger of it, and he understood that and started talking about it in December. He was summarily arrested, put in prison, and ultimately died there with supposedly contracting the coronavirus himself. China's good about covering their footsteps and destroying any evidence that would lead back to their gateway. And that's what they're doing as we speak, ladies and gentlemen, about the coronavirus. We understand that President Trump has started acting to protect Americans as of January 2020. And yet we have some on the left, the loose, lax, lost, socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and others, that up until the past few days, they've been blaming Trump for everything, including the coronavirus. I think finally we're seeing some modicum of the recognition, ladies and gentlemen, that President Trump is in the position of leadership, and we need to leave that ship to him to let him sail and see what God's going to do under his leadership in America. We do know, we're told that there's about 200,000 cases worldwide. We do know that there are about 90,000 cases that have already been cured of the coronavirus. America now reports about 114 deaths as a result of the coronavirus. The virus now is in 50 states. Up until last evening, late yesterday, it was in only 49 states. West Virginia had no cases. As of today, I understand on reading the media, I understand that there is at least two cases that's appeared just in the past 24 hours in West Virginia. So now it is in all 50 states. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Let me repeat again. We are not in the position that other nations have found. America now has about 6,500 cases. Globally, there's about 8,246 deaths. So listen very carefully. That, ladies and gentlemen, that number, even with the global number of deaths, is not even close to the number of deaths in America as I speak, just from the common flu that we see taking place. So tamp it down a little. Stop the panic. Stop the hysteria. Understand that it's dangerous. Understand that we need to be careful. Understand that we need to wash our hands. Understand that we need to stay out of a group of sneezing, runny-nosed folks around us. I said to our church members last Sunday, if you're sick, stay home. If you have a runny nose, you're sneezing, stay home. If you feel that somehow, some way, you're going to catch the coronavirus by being out, stay home. In fact, some of the recommendations, if you put gasoline in your car, clean your hands afterwards. If you have rubber gloves, use the latex gloves. Use them to put gasoline in your car. Wipe down surfaces with Lysol or other Clorox products, as it's being said today. Hard surfaces that might contain the coronavirus or something that might be causing it to spread. Those are simple steps that we've known for years and years and years, the proper personal hygiene and hygiene for our families. That's some of the things that we ought to recognize and carry out. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of things taking place today. The federal government has mandated the closing of all venues of 50 or more people, including bars, lounges, restaurants, theaters, conventions, sports events, political events, even churches, wedding events, et cetera, et cetera. Mega numbers of events, ladies and gentlemen, are being canceled or postponed or rescheduled. In fact, I'm looking at a note here. It says Jacksonville mayor limits gatherings to 50 people, restricts alcohol sales among coronavirus concerns. Following a weekend of crammed bars and packed beaches, Jacksonville mayor Lenny Curry announced new limits and restrictions on restaurants and bars in Jacksonville until further notice. At a state of emergency meeting of the Jacksonville City Council Monday, Curry said he will prohibit gatherings of more than 50 people in any establishment following CDC's recommendation. That includes churches, bars, large restaurants with a maximum capacity of 50, but does not apply to grocery stores and pharmacies. Curry said his efforts were aimed at containing the spread of the deadly virus and assured residents. This is only going to get worse in the days ahead, but we can flatten the curve, he said. This is not an overreaction, but we don't need to panic. Now, I understand that all of our political leaders on a national level are saying, do not panic, do not panic. And the more they say don't panic, the more we find the panic. The more they say don't worry, the more we see the concern, the fright, the terror that's seen in people's eyes. Yesterday, I had gone out with my bride. We were going to pick up a late lunch, early dinner, whatever you want to call it, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Went to four restaurants. All four of them were closed. Two or three of them, I think, had drive-in services, but they're all closed. In fact, that is the pattern now across America. Let me just tuck in this little reminder, ladies and gentlemen, the book that we're talking about today, The Panorama of Prophecy. is a book that every Christian needs to have in your hands. It's a book that I believe that every child of God needs to read. It's a book that I had the privilege of authoring, the book, the privilege of doing the research and publishing. Retails for $16.99. We will ship you this book free, and we'll pay the postage to get it to you. It's that important to us that you have the information in your hand, that you're not panicked. And what information does it have? It covers everything from the rapture of the church to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and his rule and reign for 1,000 years, and then his rule throughout eternity. Talks about the characteristics of the rapture, the certainty of the rapture, the chronology of the rapture. It talks about the period of ruin. It's the 7 years of tribulation. It talks about the revival of the Roman Empire, the rise of the Antichrist, the religious world system, the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven bowls judgment that is found, 21 judgments in the book of the Revelation. And when you understand what God is going to do after the church is raptured out, let me remind you once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching a smattering, a foreshadowing, a little preview of what's going to take place after we, the believers, are snatched out of this old world. Yes, let me tell you, as Christians, we ought not to worry. We need to get excited and start looking for the, listening for the sound and not watching for signs, because when the trumpet sounds, we're out of here. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. I don't know about you, but it excites me in the understanding that the Word of God, Scripture, eschatological future tense Scripture, is jumping off the pages and on the front pages of newspapers and journals and television and media around the globe. As I started out with the broadcast today, there's an announcement now that Iran and America are very close to going to war. We have just had an earthquake in Utah. We'll talk about that in a minute. Swarms of locusts from Africa to the Middle East swarming and denuding everything in its path. Virus spreading around the globe. Panic and chaos and confusion. And we are living in the days, ladies and gentlemen, that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 reminds us of. In the last days, perilous times shall come. That means dark, devastating, dangerous, difficult, deadly, destructive. That's what the word perilous means. Now, that doesn't mean we need to get excited about it and say, praise God, thank you, Jesus. That does mean that as Christians, we need to understand that we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh, Luke 21 and verse 28. We need to recognize that God is still on the throne, that God is still in charge, God is still sovereign, God is not going to sleep, God's not going on a vacation, God's not turned his back. He's not sitting out on his Colin Day front porch in heaven in the rocking chair looking down, wondering and worrying what he's going to do about this old world that's spun out of control. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, we need to calm down, settle down, and depend on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, knowing that he's still on the throne, he's still in control. So for every caller today, we're going to provide this book for you, free and postage paid, The Panorama of Prophecy, a 151-page book, retails for about $17, but it's yours, our gift for you, joining in the broadcast, the dialogue and discussion today. Very, very serious broadcast, very serious information that I believe every Christian needs to have in his hands in relationship to what the future holds and where we're going around the globe. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says, how do you get a freedom-loving people to accept tyranny? You scare them into begging for it. With God's help and working with concerned patriots like you, we won't let this happen. This is directly from Matthew Staver with Liberty Council. He says, this corona scare is just the sort of situation in which tyrannical minds, local state, federal officials would try to subvert your freedom. We're going to talk about that after the broadcast, after the break that we're going to take. We're going to take about a one-minute break for our top-of-the-hour news. We're coming right back after the top-of-the-hour news break for a minute. We want to talk about this, ladies and gentlemen. Urge others to pick up the telephone and call in. Listen to, tune in, broadcast. Don't turn your dial to another channel. Wait 1 minute, listen to the top-of-the-hour news, and come right back as we continue today's broadcast. Let's face the issues. We're talking about how should we then live.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.